You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, my name is Tanya Pinkins, and I'm the host of the podcast You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network. This fall, I have a special treat for you. In honor of my debut feature film, Red Pill, Marissa Lynn Daniels Studio has been hosting weekly conversations with my fellow Broadway colleagues and co-host Sierra Renee about the red pilling of America. These conversations create a safe space for us to talk about the things that are on our mind with an election and a global pandemic. So join us for The Red Pilling of America, a spotlight series, every Saturday at 5 p.m. or on the Broadway Podcast Network, You Can't Say That, bpn.fm/YCST. Join the conversation.
To work for CNN.
Yeah.
And yeah, news, not noise, right? And she,
yes.
that is what I need. I just need facts. Just give me facts. And I think that what we all saw in the debate was petulance and a lot of smoke and a lot of bull and nothing, you know, so few things that were said that were actually of inherent tangible value. So I'm always curious to find out what it actually is, as opposed to what we think it is or what we fear it is. And I think that that's kind of also just the story of our nation. Because I think that we, just as American people, I think that we have a very skewed and abusive view of what this country is, as opposed to what it actually is. And I think that gets us into trouble. 99%.
And I think we're at a point now where we're actually starting to reckon with the roots, you know, like there's been talk of like, are we going to like change the amount of justices? Are we going to have a constitutional convention? Like, are we going to actually start from the ground? Like, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend and, you know, he said, the ideals are beautiful, right? Like that is all like freedom and equality and the right to pursue yada yada whatever. Like that all sounds great. But the truth is it was actually never created that way. And there was always an in-group and an out-group. There was always an us and a them. There was always division. There was always class divide. There were always these things. So even as they wrote these ideals down, feeling as if they were starting at, you know, ground zero, just like no, you know, with nothing, a blank slate, that never really happened. Right. And you were talking about that as well. It's like, we got to really start reckoning with, we got to go back 16, 19. We got to go back. Like when things really started.
Go back to the beginning.
France has had five republics and five constitutions since the French Revolution. Five. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing to stop us from starting anew. We can learn.
Agreed.
From
it.
Well, agreed. And Tanya, you're in where you are in the world right now is a place that used to be one country and now it's two. You're in a place where people said, you know what? We think so different. We're just not going to, we're going to separate from you. Mm. It wasn't always North Korea and South Korea. Why would they come up with those two names? It wasn't always Czech Republic and Slovakia. It wasn't, you know, so radical things happen. And you know, it's many people that say to me like, oh, we'll never split. The country will never split. There are 50 states. I think it's just untenable.
I feel that. I worry though, and we had talked about this as well. It's just like you'd asked, is there a world in which, like, even just in the entertainment industry or whatever, like, right. Do BIPOC or POC people, do we just make our own thing and we just say, no thanks, we don't want to be a part of what's there, the system that is? Like, do we just make our own thing? Is that reasonable? Is that like, what would that look like? You know,
is that, you know, the blue states like California, New York, we fund the country.
Right.
But the people around us are heavily armed and need our money. So,
and we need their food.
They would, right? they would attack us to keep us enslaved, working to keep them supported. You know, that that is the issue.
Right. Ooh, do we think it's going to come to blows? Are we moving towards a civil war? Thoughts?
Nick? It's already come to blows. The civil war has already begun.
You're right. I unfortunately agree with you on that one. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so I wanna.
His face is wrong.
I must say, because it's not that I disagree. It's not that I disagree. It's not that I disagree. I also here's my thing. We talked about this.
Echo, turn off living room.
Early. Okay. We talked about this earlier. I think that we have to challenge ourselves to hold space for more things than one. I think this might just be me, and also, you know, I'm a child of divorce, so I'm always trying to keep the family together. Do you know what I mean? So that's just what it is. But I do think that, to me, if we view this as something that's if it's truly irreconcilable, I mean, Tanya, to your point, we are babies on the global stage. America is an infant. We have not been around as long as these other countries and empires have been around and have gone through so many different types of government and so many different, you know, regions and splits and all these things. And we haven't done any of that. We've been around for 400 years. That's not even a blink in the span of time, let alone in the span of civilization. So I'm not saying that these things aren't possible and that we shouldn't be thinking about, do we want to split? Do we not want to split? However, I also think that in order for humanity, I think that this is so many things wrapped up in one, so I'm trying to keep it concise. Right now, we are in an age where we are told everything about the technology that we give into, that we invest in, Instagram, Facebook, categorization. We are society right now that thrives on categorization, on knowing exactly what this is. And if it's not that thing, then we can't be a part of it. And my thing is, I'm an American with all that entails, with the history of prejudice and racism and abuse that entails. I carry that as much as I carry the American dream. And the need to say I am one or the other, I think that is what's killing. I think, and that might just be me, but I truly think that the challenge that I put to the country and that I challenge myself is like, can we hold space for all of it? Can we be both a country with racist, horrible roots and a country where people fulfill their dreams? Can we do that? If we can't, okay. But I don't think we've ever tried. I truly don't think we've ever tried. I think that we've tried to be like, no, we got to move forward or we're stuck. We have to do both. We have to both look in the mirror and wrestle with who we are and keep stepping forward. And I think that we have space enough for both. Maybe we don't. Maybe we don't. So I don't know.
Well, and to clarify, so you're saying hold space for and understand that we have this issue and it needs to be fixed. Yes. And also we have all these great things as well, right? Like just being more objective and realistic, seeing the whole piece instead of just pieces of the whole.
I think we can't even come into agreement that we have this piece that's not good. I mean, the president just signed an executive order saying that talking about anti-racism is racist. Mm-hmm. And so he funded anything that could even have a conversation about that. Mm-hmm. So we can't even agree to disagree or like, you know, I want to have anti-racism. Like he said, no, that's racist. That's abusive. We are not going to even discuss it in any place that gets funding from the government.
Here's the unique challenge. Because I think I love, and I mean this, I love Nick's idealism. And I mean that in the truest sense of both of those words, love and idealism. I think the unique challenge is you look at other countries like Ireland, who absolutely had borderline slavery, indentured servitude, you can call it, and other countries that have had the like over centuries, the people that were put in that position were the poorest from that same country. So as they work through it, it's purely economics. Whereas it's very unique, the system of how we, people of color, got here. So the intention, to work together, if we're really going to go back, we have to go back to the people who were on the land first and ask forgiveness and let them lead the way. And if we can't do that, that is a huge challenge. And I think that's the heavy lift for all of us to say. And you know, listen, I do think Black people have a different, you know, it's not the same thing that white people will have to do, but there is a reckoning. You can't walk up and down across a graveyard and not expect that eventually that's going to come back on you. And you can't be naive about the sentient ability of the earth to take care of itself. The earth is a sentient being. It's a woman. And we've been clowning, and now she's putting us in our room.
Yes, she is a woman. You know, yes, Mother Earth.
We've just been clowning. Now she's like, go to your room. I've had enough. I told you not to smoke in my house. You've been smoking in my house. You're burning up my lungs. I can't breathe. You're crowding me out. You're putting concrete over me. I can't breathe. I'm heating up. I'm hot flashing. I'm going to get rid of you. And it is in a very, it's in a very insidious way that she's doing it. Because COVID is something that hits us at our core, that I can't come and talk to you. I can't be in a room with other people. So what is that doing to us mentally? So I think there, I think Nick is right with the challenge, but I think it's huge. And
So how do we
mention a documentary that's on YouTube? It's called Aluna, and it is about the Kogi people of Colombia, who are a group of people who survived the colonialists. They outlived the Aztecs, the Mayans, because they went and they hid.
And
they talk a lot, you know, the way, what they take is they take one of their children, several of their children at birth, and they raise them in a dark cave in constant meditation with Mother Earth. And so the reason they made this documentary 15 years ago was to tell us the message from Mother Earth of how little brother is misbehaving and harming her, and therefore harming ourselves. You know, capitalism, I think, is the real bugaboo, because capital requires labor, and you can't get wealth without labor. And we have a culture that devalues labor and doesn't even want to pay labor to be able to survive. And yet you can't get wealthy without labor. So it's the capitalist model for me has to go away to something someone said today, to a commerce model, which is that we keep circulating and reinvesting in ourselves and one another into a model where we really do feel responsible for everyone.
Tanya, can you talk about what's the difference between that and that dirty word that gets people confused and upset about sharing everything? You know, the word I'm talking about. That
I makes don't.
Socialism.
Let's start with
socialism.
Yeah. No. So the difference between what you're talking about, so that we might not have to use that word, because I like what you're saying, and put that way, I think everybody would be on board. And then somebody would raise their hand and say, ain't that socialism? And everybody would shut.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Well, this is one of the weird things that I always do when I go out and talk to communities, like, you know, when I get to be in the community and talk. I think the biggest thing that America has done in the world is we are the masters of spin and PR. And so we sell people on ideas that we actually don't live by. So this idea of socialism, well, the military—
That's the Constitution.
But you, for you to want socialism, for you to want to even collect your unemployment check or a welfare check that you pay taxes for, that is shameful. And and we've been sold this idea so that we don't even look at the factuality. Like Trump not paying taxes, that's just considered being a good businessman. I bet if you looked at 90% of the wealthy people, you know, they're not paying taxes.
Right.
And they consider that good business. And they're not going to talk about it because they understand that they need the poor people to pay taxes so they can have the roads and the lights and the fire department. But it's like, well, you know, you don't know better. So that's the price of you not being smart enough to understand the way this system works, that the system says one thing and does another thing. And that's why we don't have a good education system, because they don't want us to be able to think.
100% to all of that.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So here's my question. Do you guys ever feel hopeless? And what do we do about that?
That's my point. All the time, in answer to your question. Yeah. All the time. Because when you look at this thing, and when you look at how, exactly like Paul said, exactly like Tony's saying, like, the challenge is overwhelming. The amount of spin that we have to fight through is overwhelming, and it was designed to be so, right? It was designed to exhaust us. So that, you know, I was just watching The Big Short yesterday, and my favorite thing about that movie is how they explain that, like, so much of the jargon that is used in trading stocks and investing is just bullshit. Like, it's not real. Nothing about it is real. It's literally words to confuse you so that you don't take onus of your money and let these people handle your money. That's the whole thing. Like, it actually, when broken down, is not that complicated, but it is made to seem such. And that, I completely agree that is the core of America. But I think in terms, you know, I don't ever want to be prescriptive about what anybody should do about anything, but I can say for myself, what has helped me is just taking one bite at a time of this freaking whale, taking one bite at a time, and I think the other lie that the country tells you is that it's all or nothing, that you either have to be saving the world or you're useless. And I think that is the biggest lie that anyone could say. You know, because think about that. Think about the things that, you know, I talk to my wife about this all the time. Right? We have a wage gap. We have not beyond a wage gap. We just have a complete inequality of sexes. And speaking honestly, the people that are on the bottom of this totem pole are Black women. Let's just be real about what this country has done. And the amount of gaslighting that goes on to our Black sisters, and the amount of lies that we are told about our bodies and ourselves, not just as Black people, but especially to women, the amount that my wife had to school me and be like, you don't know the amount of shit that I have to fight through on a day just to maintain my sanity, just to wake up. And it was truly jarring for me, because I know what I got to do as a Black man. I have no idea what y'all have to do as Black women or as women of color. Like, that's a whole separate thing. Mm-hmm. What I do know is that my mind is my own, and finding those little ways to just remind yourself that they can't take it away from you. And that goes across race and across everything. I think that in a world that sells and that works on your manipulation, what can you do to take back control of this? What can you protect? What are the boundaries that you can put up to protect your space?
But boundaries, we don't talk about those. We don't talk about healthy confrontation. We don't talk about boundaries. We don't talk about agreeing and disagreeing healthfully. Like, we don't talk about any of those things.
With the queen of healthy confrontation, Tanya Pinkins.
Here we are.
She never saw a confrontation that she didn't go toward.
Yeah.
If I value you, I want to be radically honest with you, because then, you know, I think clarity is security for me. And so
put that on t-shirt.
No, I try to be radically honest with people, because that's when I know who are the people who are going to be in my life for the long haul. If I can't bring that to you and have you like be crunchy and uncomfortable with that, and we survive that, then this is going to be a transactional relationship. And I don't want to have that many transactional relationships in a lifetime, because for me, really, it is the relationships with others that make being human so meaningful. So I'm looking for, where are the real relationships that we're going to struggle and wrestle with and learn from each other, because we're different. Like, I welcome difference, and I welcome valuing somebody being different from me and being able to understand and accept and ride with that.
Do you feel like, and I love all of that, and I agree, like, I want people, and I think I do, like, my friends are all very different, and they don't actually really intersect much. Like, I feel like I'm one thing, and there's all these different spokes of people, you know, like, when I bring them all together for, like, a going away party, they're like, who are you?
You know what I mean? Like, you know her? Yeah,
like, what? But that is, so this is a spot where I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm hitting my head against the wall, or I feel hopeless a little bit, is like, I feel like because I have felt othered, I am capable of the empathy necessary and like compassion or whatever necessary for me to say, oh, you know what? I can see all these different points of view and value them and respect these people and love and have compassion for them. Even if we disagree on things, like, I'm able to be in that space, and I'm not the only one. I think, well, a lot of people are, right? But I feel like because I was othered, like, what do we feel like it's possible, or do you guys feel like it's possible for people who haven't necessarily been othered to find that kind of open space? Because that's essentially what I would say we need, right? Is we need the people who are not consistently oppressed, who are a part of the system oppressing, whether they are meaning to be or not, you know, intentionally or not, you know, the people who don't have to think about only survival, the people who don't feel othered, because there are a lot of people who, you know, there are some classes of people in this country who don't have to think about this stuff, and it doesn't make them good or bad or otherwise. But I have conversations, you know, with, you know, cis white men, and I'll say, well, but this is how I see the world and how I've experienced it and things I've been through. And they're like, huh, I never would have even thought of that. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like,
fish doesn't know that it's in water. So these white men, they don't even know. Which, it's so alien to them. I'm sorry.
Continue. Right, but that is, and that's what makes me nervous, is, right? So, like, I want to be able to connect with all of these people, and like, just like going back to what you were talking about, like, we can hold two things at once. I was like, I don't think we're ready, because as a mixed person, that never happens. That doesn't occur. Okay. I don't get to be two things at once, or even the four or five things that I am. I get to be one thing the way you see me, or you see me. Like, that's all that it is. So we're not at a place yet where we're holding two things, but I'd like to be. But my biggest question is, do we think it's possible to have these conversations? Like, how do we get to a place where the people who never have to think about this are open to thinking about it? I do feel like we've made some progress in 2020, like, but I don't know if it's
doing it right now. We're doing it right now.
We have
conversations, and people have showed up and are listening. It's happening. We are doing it right now as we speak.
And I also got to piggyback off of that, because I think going back to your other question about how we maintain hope, and this is I'm gonna preface this by saying, I do not wish this virus on anyone, on any single person. I do not wish it. I do not wish it. I do not wish it. Please be safe. Please wash your hands. Please wear a mask. However, the arrogance of a group of people to get together days, mere days after a Supreme Court justice has died, who her dying wish was, please wait to replace me, and get together having a party to celebrate the nominee that will replace her. And you get together in this party and you're not wearing masks and you're not social distancing and you're hugging each other. And now you are a super spreader of this virus. The irony of that, because the thing, and somebody tweeted out today, I was like, I'm holding on to that. You know what wasn't a super spreader? was the goddamn Black Lives Matter protests. We did not super spread anything. We did all those protests and that virus didn't go buzzing around. Y'all had one party and that virus said, shut the F up.
And you know, they weren't washing their hands either, let alone.
And you know, they were, of course they're not one. And I was like, and what, but just what occurred to me, what occurred to me, Sierra, to your point, the arrogance that takes to, in the middle of a global pandemic, think that your money or status will save you.
But it has up until this point, it has, and it almost probably still will.
I'm in Korea, and a country of 50 million people that has only had 400 deaths. Everyone wears a mask everywhere all the time. We can go into restaurants. We sign contact tracing things. The newspaper, your phone, when you come into the country, your phone sends you a message every day. The 124th person with COVID was in this place and they went here and they did. I mean, like, the information that you're given every day, all day, about where it's happening, what's happening, that's available to us. But I think it's our immaturity as a nation that we're like toddlers. You can't tell me what to do. No.
Well, because Nick, the problem is, it's not that they think that the global pandemic is not going to get them or that they're going to be protected from it. It's that they don't believe that there is one. That's the problem. Yeah. Not that they think they're invincible. They don't think that the thing itself is a thing. It's like what I was saying about, you know, a lot of cis white men, a fish doesn't know that it's in water because that's just what it's always been in. Absolutely. So if it ever came up to the air and saw how everyone else is living, that fish would start and you'd have to calm them down. And, you know,
that's why I say it's kind of not what I've, because enjoyed is the wrong word, but even the thought of these people getting a little taste of being like, hey, that's what it feels like when you can't breathe. Just so you know, just so you're aware, I know you're going to get the best medical treatment in the world and you'll be fine tomorrow. Whereas, you know, everybody who looks like us has died, but just so you know what that feels like, that's kind of what it feels like a little bit.
So how do we do it?
But I mean, what we also don't know with this virus is there are long-term effects. I have young friends who have recovered and they still are wheezing.
Months
later, the cognitive issues, the respiratory issues, this virus sticks around for a long time and it is working on every single bodily system. I mean, it looks like it's trying to just use us as a host and just live in us forever. Because remember, a virus doesn't want to kill. It needs a host.
It needs to be fed.
Right. It needs a host. So it's not trying to kill you. It's trying to figure out how can we live together. And I'm going to just take enough so I get what I want and keep you going.
Right. And the ones that had pre-existing conditions have died. But the majority of people do continue to live because the virus is like, cool. Now go on over there. Don't put a mask on. Go on over there.
And spread some more so we can, that's what the virus wants. Once you keep spreading.
That's what the virus wants,
I'm Tanya Pinkins. You're listening to You Can't Say That. And that was part one of our spotlight, The Red Pilling of America, with my host, Sierra Renee, and our guests, Paul Oakley Stovall and Nick Walker of Hamilton.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.